Good morning. It's great to see you, and I'm thankful to get to be with you today, and so I want to say thank you for being here. Looking forward to spending some time with God's Word open. I do hope you are prepared to look at Joshua chapter 1. If you're not already there, as Scott has read for us, let me encourage you to be getting your Bibles open and ready to go there in Joshua chapter 1. A couple of things that I'd like to say before we get started. I guess maybe just a couple of announcements that special requests that have been made as two different men are currently in the hospital in Nashville, and their families, their wives have asked that we remember them in our prayers. Ray Gwynn is in hospital in Nashville dealing with having stents put in, and Gary Hapney is in a hospital in Nashville going to have bypass surgery on Monday. And so both these families would greatly appreciate it if we would remember them in prayer. They specifically asked that that we announce that today, and so I wanted to say that in front of all of you so that you know about it, and you'll be praying for those families, the Gwynn family, the Hapney family. So officially, I believe we have about one more month of summer, right? I think we've got until about September 22nd. But for most of us, if you're like me at any way at all like this, summer didn't have anything to do with when they officially said it started and began. Summer was when school was out and then when school started again, right? That's when summer started and ended. So I guess we could say that for most in this area, summer is over. Because Barron County started back to school on the 8th, I think it was. And those lucky dogs from Glasgow, your time's almost up too. The 22nd, you go back to school too. So summer has ended for these folks. I know that I've been hearing a lot about, seeing a lot of pictures also of the families that have been taking their college students and dropping them off, and then I guess in some cases, tearfully coming back home. You know, that signifies when you go take somebody to college, leave them there and come back, summer's over in a lot of different ways. So this time of year has a different kind of feel to it. We can feel that things are changing because of the way that schedules are now changing, getting back into different kinds of school routines, all of that. And so my question is that as we get ready to go back to school, as families, as individuals, what have you done to prepare for that? How many of you would say, well, our family did nothing. Nothing. I got a kid in fourth grade, and I'm just going to let him just fend for himself. You know, you either get ready for it, or is that the way you handled it? Nothing. Or did you not say, well, let's maybe review a few important concepts, or maybe there's a little bit of reading I want you to do over the summer to stay caught up and fresh. At the very least, maybe you went and got some pencils and some paper. If you were lucky enough to get back to school clothes, I want you to know that's special. It's not something everybody gets to do. It's really not. Some of you take it as an entitlement. No, you're blessed. Remember that. But here's the deal. For a significant number of us, the start of the school year means we have prepared, we've gotten ready. We've had people who love us to such a degree that they have helped us get ready for this transition, to walk into a building maybe we've never walked into before. We've got people that love us and care about us, and they've helped us, they've prepared us for this next phase, this next step in life. But maybe we should think about our preparation and getting ready to enter into a new place from a different angle. I want you to think with me about Joshua and what happens here in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is taking over for the great leader, Moses. And Joshua is told by God to go and get the people ready. That's specifically what we read in verse 11, Joshua 1:11. God tells Joshua, Joshua tells the people, prepare yourselves because we're about to enter in a new land. Get ready today because in a few days, things change. Get ready right now because soon we're going to cross into a brand new existence. So he said, prepare yourself today because coming soon is a big change. So Joshua was directed by God. Joshua was commanded by God to go and get the people ready to go into a new place. Well, you and I must also prepare for new challenges in life. We've got to prepare for the new things that we're going to face. It's one thing to prepare for school. It's quite another thing to prepare for eternity, is it not? Our hearts and our minds have to be ready for what the world's going to seek to throw at us. We need more than pencils and notebooks and book bags. We need our hearts prepared by God and for God to face what the world will present. And so our plan for today, what we're going to do today, is we're going to use this concept of going back to school. But for each different point we make, each different concept that we address, we're going to view it from three different angles. We're going to look first at the history, the Israelite people and Joshua, and what God called on Joshua and the people to do, how he told them to prepare for the new events. Then we'll think about it from the concept, the aspect of going back to school. Maybe seek to give a little bit of encouragement to our young people and those that are walking back into classrooms and school buildings again. But then thirdly and finally, the different perspective, the third perspective on each one of these things is, how does God expect His man, His woman, His child to deal with these situations? What does He expect out of every last one of us in this room in regard to these things? So let's look at it together. How are we prepared? God told Joshua, what you need to do is prepare to be a leader. Look at chapter 1, verse 6 here, because what's happening is they are on the cusp. They are on the border of going into the promised land. Now they were to have gone in about four decades ago, right? Under the leadership of Moses, they'd sent the 12 spies in. They went in, and they were too afraid to go in. And so that generation had to pass away. And so now we come to the days of Joshua. The people are again lined up, if you will. They're ready to go in, cross the Jordan, go into the promised land. And so God's got a number of things that He wants to say to them. And He says, in no uncertain terms, to Joshua, "You be the leader I need." Look at verse 6. This is what God says to Joshua. "Be strong and courageous." Let me pause again, just sort of on a side note. I hope that you heard, hope you were listening with your heart and your mind, that when Scott read for us a few moments ago, I hope you heard certain phrases that got repeated sort of like over and over again. Specifically, how many times, at least three times of what Scott read, God said to Joshua and to the people, "Be strong and courageous." Be strong and courageous. Be strong. And you think God's trying to get a certain message across? Here, He says to him in verse 6, "Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." As I think back on this, it's daunting to think about what pressure Joshua was facing. Because drop back with me. Go. Maybe you just have to barely even scroll back a little bit. Look at the very end of Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy 34 at verse 10. Look at the way Moses was held up as the ultimate of leaders. He's held up as God's ultimate guy here. Deuteronomy 34 verse 10. "There has not arisen a prophet since Moses." There's not arisen a prophet since Moses in all Israel that was like him, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him, none like Moses, for all the signs and the wonders the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. So now think about that. There's never been a leader like Moses. There's never been someone that God loved so much, God did so much through. There's never been anybody like Moses. Now, you're going to volunteer to be the guy that follows him? Think about the pressure on Joshua. And yet here he is. And God says to him, "You'll be the one who will lead my people in." It wasn't Moses. "You'll be the one who will lead my people in." So three different times God says here, "Be strong and courageous." In this case, it's as if God is telling Joshua, "Look, man, you can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. I made you," God says. "I prepared you," God says. "You're ready. So now go and lead these people into the promised land." So many people are counting on Joshua, and God is calling on him to lead the people to victory. So why did Joshua have reason to be courageous? I think from the standpoint of humans, the way you and I might look at it, is he might should have just gone and hid somewhere. If Moses couldn't do it, well then, Lord, I can't do it. No, that's not the issue. He says, you're going to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. You see, he says, it's not about you, Joshua, it's about me. It's not about your strength, it's about me and the promises I've made. God says, if you know me, you know I keep my promises. God says, if you know me, you know that I win. God says, if you know me, you know that this is going to happen. And I'm telling you to lead them in. Doesn't that change everything? So now it's not about being in Moses' shadow. Now it's about following God. Now it's about being obedient to God. You and I need to think about that. I'm not going to use any names. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But, you know, I said that last week and then I went ahead and embarrassed somebody. Really, this week I'm not going to do it. But just this morning, because I know what it is to fill large shoes, both literally and figuratively. The guy who used to fill this pulpit was literally big, right? But he was also figuratively big. I mean, just this morning in Bible class, I was called Steve. It's hard sometimes to follow somebody who's made a difference. But you see, if you let that control you, you'll never do anything. God said to Joshua, it's not about Moses, it's about me. God said, it's not about what you can do, it's about the promises I've made. Now go lead these people. You see how different that is? And so for the concept of walking into a school building, what you need to know, what you need to take with you, what you need to be prepared to do is that when you leave your home in the morning and you go to the school house or the school building, wherever it might be, you walk in expecting to be a leader, knowing that your actions impact other people, knowing that your actions, the things you do, the things you say, your actions reflect on God. For many of us, this is tough. How many of us adults, when we were in school years ago, wanted to just blend into the scene, wanted to go unnoticed by the crowd? Well, let me suggest this. There are numerous ways that we can lead without necessarily standing in the spotlight. You don't need to run for some kind of a student council, you know, position. That'd be great if you did, but you don't have to. Just like you don't have to know Greek to go to heaven, you don't have to run to student for student council in order to be a good student. You don't have to be in the spotlight. But think about these things. The language that you use, the way you talk, when you're out of the house and just around your friends, the language you use. Let me encourage you to refuse to speak in a way that demeans other people. Let me encourage you to refuse to speak in a way that demeans yourself. Let me encourage you to refuse to use words that are beneath you. Those garbage kinds of words that indicate that when you use these garbage kinds of words, that whether it's true or not, what it projects to others is that, hey, I've got no depth of soul. I'm so shallow, these are the only words I can come up to use. That's not who you want to be. That's not what you want to project. And in fact, whenever you go back and you look at Scripture, it starts to make sense to you. Oh yeah, my God did tell me in Matthew 12:36, I'm going to be judged by the way I speak. I'm going to give an account for the words that I've used. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Because the idea is, that's beneath followers of Christ. So whether or not you have the greatest soul in the world, whenever you begin using words that say otherwise, you damage yourself, you reflect on God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 says, let no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking come out of your mouth. The language you use is one of the easiest identifying markers that either align us with Christ or align us with the world. It's a way to either demonstrate you're seeking to be a leader for Christ or just following the rest of the world. We could keep going here. What about the clothes that we wear? Do you know what it means to be provocative? You know what that word means? I'm talking about going back to school, so here's the definition, here's a test. What's provocative mean? Define provocative. It means to deliberately or to intentionally attempt to cause a strong reaction in someone. It might mean that you seek to deliberately make someone else angry, or you deliberately seek to make someone be stirred up physically. It can mean a lot of things, but to be provocative is to, on purpose, try to stir someone else up. try to get a strong reaction out of someone. So to both the gentlemen and the ladies here, to every last one of us, I want to say, if someone looks at us, what's the image I'm seeking to project? If someone looks at me, what's the impression that I'm seeking to give? What message am I sending by the way that I have dressed? Am I seeking to be rebellious? Am I seeking to be sensuous? Am I seeking to be more physical than what I maybe really feel in my soul? What is it that I'm seeking to project? Our time and our activities away from school, please, please, please don't spend time in dangerous places. As the school year goes along, you're going to be invited to go to all different kinds of social events. You'll be asked to go to a party where there's alcohol. Be a leader. Stay away from that garbage. There's not enough time in the day to ruin your life with those things. A leader's going to spend their time in places where they would not be embarrassed to be found. And so to every last one of us in the room, as we graduate from Joshua to the schoolroom to this room, let me tell you, somebody needs you. Maybe it's a peer. Maybe it's somebody younger than you who's looking up to you. But absolutely, parents and grandparents, it's you. Aunts, uncles, neighbors, you are being looked at. So specifically, let me say to the parents in this room, be a leader. It's very likely that someone right here, right now, is not only struggling, but they're looking to you for their leadership. And if you are showing them that Christ is secondary, we've got a very real problem. Because they are looking at you at a time that is crucial. And they need to hear from you, because of God, I am strong and courageous, and we're marching forward with Him. They don't need to see from you that you're weak. You might not say it, but if they see in your actions that you're cowering, falling down before the world rather than kneeling before the cross, they see it. What they need from you is a leader. The next concept is this. He's told to be obedient. Look at me at Joshua 1:7. Joshua 1:7, he says, "Be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of Moses that my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it. Don't turn away from the words I've given you. Don't turn away from the commands I've given, not to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." The image that's portrayed here in Joshua 1:7 is very similar to what's in Matthew 7:13 and 14. Jesus says in Matthew 7:13 and 14 that there's two paths. There's the narrow path. And there's the broad path. See, on the broad path, you can just swerve all over the place. The narrow path, you can't move from the right to the left because it's narrow. And so he says here in Joshua 1:7, stay on the path of obedience. Joshua's success was tied to his obedience. God said, look, be obedient and have success. That was the equation there. The idea was that as long as Joshua kept following God, as long as Joshua kept following God's plan, God would keep giving Israel victories. Remember, God said, it's not about your strength, it's about my strength. And so he says, if you'll keep being obedient to me, I'll keep giving you victory. Don't swerve to the right or the left. Keep being obedient and you'll keep winning. At school, what I want to emphasize here from this point is this. It's only the gospel that saves. It's so easy to let this get out of hand and get out of perspective whenever we let other things become our God, other things become our idol. Please don't misunderstand. Please don't misunderstand. Please hear me in the way that I'm really seeking to say this. Please don't misunderstand. There is great value in participation in extracurricular activities. Might be hard for me to say, but there is value in participation. You learn about the value of teamwork. You learn about the value of hard work. You learn about discipline. You learn about the great need for being physically fit. On and on we could go. There's great, great value, but there is a problem in letting it get out of hand. Our identity is to be wrapped up in Christ, not in these activities in which we participate. Even in school, our identity is to be in Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, this is what Paul says to the young man, Timothy, "Let no one despise you for your youth." You know, you might read it this way this morning. Just because you're a student doesn't mean you don't get called to a higher level. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech. Show the older generation what a Christian sounds like. Be an example in conduct. Be an example in love. Be an example in faith. Be an example in purity. In every walk, in every aspect, the people you come in contact with, show them what it looks like to follow Christ regardless of your age. Christ is to be our life now, Colossians 3:4. Not at some unspecified time in the future. We're being called upon to be obedient today, whether you are young or old. Allow your life in Christ to be what defines you. Not about what grade you make, not about what sport you play, not about what instrument you play. Let your identity be in Christ. Being obedient to Him is what matters. And so for the rest of us, those of us in this room this morning, from the oldest to the youngest, we're called upon to follow these passages like Romans 6:17. Be obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Titus 3:1, be obedient and ready for every good work. You see, God calls upon each one of us to be obedient. He calls upon us to be obedient in the way that we come into His presence. He calls upon us to be obedient in the way that we're made pure. He calls upon us to be obedient in the way that we continue to live each day. And that means the way that we treat others and speak to others, all of that. Our God says to us, obedience leads to success. Just like He told Joshua in Joshua 1:7. Joshua, my child, if you'll be obedient to me, you'll be successful. And that's what He's telling us today. Note I didn't say this. He didn't say if you'll be obedient, you'll become a millionaire. Sorry, Jake and others. He says if you'll be obedient, you'll be successful in the way that it really matters. You'll be obedient, and you'll be successful in a way that you receive an eternal crown of glory. Regardless of the things you receive now. I'm reminded of what's written in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. And when on the other side of things, after both of them had passed away, remember there was that beggar Lazarus who was in such a pitiful condition that he went to a place where dogs licked his sores. Pitiful. And the message from heaven was this. He received poor things. He received hard things. He received ugly things in his life. But he's successful now. His faithful heart, his trusting heart has led to success. We're being called to be obedient because God says that's what leads to success. The next idea is this, is that we're being called upon to prepare for what the next phase in life, we're being called upon to prepare to enter into the new land by being aware of God. Be aware of God's presence. Look at Joshua 1:9. He tells him here, you're going to be ready for this phrase. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He repeats that because look up in verse 5. Verse 5 says this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Listen to this. I will not leave you or forsake you. Israel had nothing to fear because God was leading the fight. I love to think about that. Israel had nothing to fear because God was leading the fight. Remember, they had been spies looking at the land some four decades ago before this in Joshua 1. If you look in your Bibles at about Numbers 13, I think it's Numbers 13, 31. It's in Numbers 13, 31 that they said after those 10 spies, not there's 12 spies, two say we can do it, but 10 spies come back and they said, look, we are not able to go up against these people. We cannot fight these people. They are stronger than we are. And then in verse 33 of Numbers 13, they say, we're like grasshoppers in our own sight and in their sight. We're little bitty and weak and can be crushed. We can't handle it. But the words of Caleb are the kinds of words that we should remember. Because while the people were intimidated, Caleb said this, because he knew God was leading the charge. He knew God was leading the fight. In Numbers 13, verse 30, he says, look, let's go up at once and possess it. Let's go up at once and occupy it. Let us go up right this minute and fight. We are well able to overcome. Not because we're strong, but because God is strong. And so as we move to Joshua 1, you think all those people are gone? You think the people that are so big and so strong that made the Israelites feel like grasshoppers, you think they're gone? No, they're still there. What's changed is the perspective that God is strong, that God is the leader, that God is the general. And so God reminds Joshua here, be courageous, I'm with you. If you will remember that I am there, when you go into battle, it won't be nearly as daunting. Well, as we walk into a school building, as we walk into a classroom, situation is going to look different if you approach each moment, each room with God. Part of the value of having like an open house at schools is so that both the student and the parent can become familiar with the layout. But really the value in an open house is so that the student won't be so apprehensive when school actually starts. It's easier to go into a building when you're familiar with it, isn't it? I mean, think back to the time you first walked into this building. It's probably daunting, probably intimidating the first time. But now if you've been going here for like 50 years, you don't even think about it. You know where your pew is, you know where your spot is. You just walk in and it's normal, right? Yeah, Carl knows. It's exactly, you know, it's what I'm talking about. Because you're familiar with the place. Well, think about it if you approached every single room, every single interview, every single opportunity, every single class, like you weren't walking in alone, but you were walking in with God into a place that He's been before, into a place that's completely familiar for Him. Wouldn't that make a difference in the way that you felt? The most important book that you're going to read this semester is not going to be handed to you by your teacher. It's going to be handed to you from your parents or from your Bible class teacher. As you keep looking through pages of Scripture, don't let projects and papers crowd out the time to meditate on what's truly important. Keep remembering who God is and where He is. Staying in the Word will keep your heart and your mind centered on God. It's going to keep reminding you that He's near. The most important thing that you're going to do repeatedly this semester is that you're going to approach all of your issues, all of your circumstances as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Your ability to think and your ability to reason is critical. But when you go into chemistry or into art, you go in there and you do your work as a Christian, remembering that the Lord is near. And so for you and for me, for every last one of us, Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 5, the Bible's going to go back and quote here from Joshua 1. In Hebrews 13, 5, it says, be content with what you have, for He has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's Joshua 1, 5. And so because God has told us He'll never leave us or forsake us, that means that we can confidently say, that's all of us, we can confidently say, the Lord's my helper, I will not fear what man can do to me. Why do I have reason to be courageous? Why do I have reason to know that I'm strong? It's because God is present. He fills and He strengthens, Ephesians 3, 20. So let us go up at once and possess it, because with God we are well able to overcome. If God is with us, what do we have to be afraid of? To be prepared for your next battle, you must know you're in the presence of God. And then finally, there's this concept. This is the last thing we want to consider. Verses 12 through 18 bring up a very unique situation. There are these three tribes. Look at Joshua 1:12. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They had it worked out. They had a special deal made with God that they got to stay over on the other side of the Jordan River. They didn't actually go across the Jordan into the Promised Land. Their home, their permanent dwelling place, was going to be on the other side of the Jordan. Now, strange as that sounds, they still had to be a part of the team. What it says here in these verses, verses 12 through 18, is that those three tribes, they made a promise. We promise that we'll go into the fight. We promise that we'll go across the Jordan, we'll fight with our brothers, and then once God has secured victory, then we'll come back to the other side of the Jordan. We promise to act like brothers. We promise to be united. We promise to fight as a united brotherhood. Now, I hope that you can clearly see, I hope that you can very easily connect the dots to what we're going to ask you to do here. If these three tribes said, you know, we live here, we don't live on that side of the river, but because we're brothers, because God is our Father, we'll come help you fight. We'll stand shoulder to shoulder with you and fight, and then we'll come back home. When you go to school, I hope you know, I'm sure you've already felt it, and I'm sure you recognize, it's easier to fight the enemy when you got somebody standing next to you. It's easier to stand up to peer pressure when you've got some peers who stand with you. So let me encourage you, to the young people, to those whatever age you might be, from grade school to college, don't live two lives. Don't be one person at church on Sunday and then another person at school during the week. Look out for each other. You're all facing the same temptations. You're all facing the same challenges. Help each other through them. Be like these three tribes who said, look, we might live over here. We might come from different places, but you know what? Because we all love and fear and serve God, we all fight together. We're going to come help you fight. When I see you in trouble, I'm coming to help. If you see me in trouble, I hope you come to help. When I see somebody that's making fun of you for being a person who goes to church, if I see you getting made fun of because you put the things of God first, I'm not going to laugh too. I'm not going to fade into the background. I'm going to come and stand with you because we fight together. To the rest of us, you know Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says that we're to bear each other's burdens. Who are you helping? Whose load have you made lighter? Who can come to you and say, you know, I just want to say to you, thanks for fighting with me. I know you didn't have to, but thanks for fighting with me. God expects His people to help each other. He expects His people to fight against the enemy together. Not fighting with each other, but to fighting with each other. Right? Not with each other, but with each other. Too often, we get caught up and we fight the wrong people. Our God expects us to be courageous and to stand with each other, not against each other. So to those of you going to the classrooms, be helpful to each other. To those of you going to the office, to those of you just doing whatever you might do this week, Monday through Friday, be helpful to each other. As you prepare to face your next circumstance, your next event in life, are you prepared to enter the new land? Do you have all your supplies? Are you, more importantly, are you prepared with your heart? Are you ready to enter the new land of eternity? Are you ready to see what God has prepared for you? But let me tell you this. Today, we are here to help. If there's any way that we can be of service to you today, we ask that you let us know. It may be that you'll display courage and leadership by admitting you need forgiveness. Maybe you're going to show others the courage that it takes to fall on your knees and to surrender to the Lord. Maybe you're going to show others the strength that it takes to choose obedience even in the face of temptation. So what we need to do is resolve to live courageously and to stand together as we stand against the deception of Satan. Parents, model for your children what it is to follow Christ. Don't just lecture them. Don't just tell them. Model for them what it is to follow Christ. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you wherever you go, especially if you must come before Him now while we stand and sing.